local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there. We're 4:06, and boy, did it ever pour a few minutes ago. Huh?
Yeah, it did, and you got four leaks in the roof here.
Yes, I noticed, so. we had a little surprise.
But you
there.
Only got three buckets.
So. I know. We run low on supplies.
Save that water. We'll need it in July. Water the indoor plants anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening today. Hopefully I can enthuse you into some kind of gardening thing. And if you have any questions, no matter what I'm talking about, you may interrupt me and call and say, hey, I have a question about my pineapple bush. And the number is 673-4464. Now, pineapple bushes are not my in arena of expertise, but I'll make good guesses about pineapple bushes. I've seen them. I know what they look like. But this show is primarily on, ideas. What can I do to my yard? What can I do for my community? What can I do for my neighbor? And how do I block him out with big trees? You know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Or my lawn is dry and it's brown and there's moss all over it. What do I do? I know how to take care of that stuff.
You set it afire.
Yeah, well, that's one thing, you know, but do it with a propane torch so it doesn't spread. as we are in this, continual non-rainy period that we've been experiencing for about a month, the dry grass and the weeds are doing really well. They're growing fast and tall. I had one, client call me that we cleaned up his yard last year. It was a total disaster. Mm. The weeds were, the grass was 3 feet tall at least, over.
Gosh.
And he's got a big old backyard. And then it was mixed with blackberries.
Oh, sure.
And in the blackberries, at the bottom of the blackberries were old boards and stuff. Now, this place was really a mess.
Sounds like something out of Arkansas.
Well, it was Winston. And at any rate, it took the full crew and I 2 days to erase all that, haul it all away. And I thought, well, good. And I think his dad owns the place and he lives there. And the other day, just for the heck of it, I drove up his street just to see how it looked.
Right.
It looked the same. Like last year, the weeds were 3 feet tall. I didn't see any of the blackberries coming back, but the weeds, my goodness, I thought, what in the world? What? You didn't get a mower.
Why didn't you keep it going?
Yeah. Anyway, I got a call from him today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, can you come on over and clean the place up again? And I thought, yeah, we can, but... What the heck? Once you get it down, it's pretty easy to do.
It doesn't
take 2 days with three men.
No.
But it's interesting. So with the dry grass and the weeds and growing all over the place, they should be cut down as soon as possible. Don't leave them. You know, you want to prevent fires around your home, for crying out loud. You never know when some... person would throw a cigarette butt out, or some malcontent would say, "Hey, I wonder if this lighter will work here in this grass." You know, you don't want to experience that. We live in a crazy world. There's all kinds of people running around doing weird things. So
absolutely,
cut that grass down, cut that brush down. Don't be afraid. Get it done. It'll look better, and fire danger is nil. You know, when that dry grass gets a hold and you get a little bit of wind, it goes fast. It's like kerosene. And, you know, the summer looks to be dry, drier than it is right now. In fact, there was some article I read that this is the driest year on record ever in Oregon. So
really?
Yeah. Mm. It's looking dry. And like I say, more more so than usual.
More smoke to breathe in
the summer. That's right. And after you cut them, you know, go out there and spray Roundup or your favorite weed killer to prevent more growth, or at least slow the growth down. Mm-hmm. After you do all that and get it all cleaned up, put about 6 inches of bark mulch over the top and try to keep that stuff down. But it's really important if you live in a kind of a rural neighborhood with big yards, and you know, maybe people have half acre yards or an acre yard, and there's a lot of grass and there's no cows eating it. And hey, You gotta take care of that. You gotta think about that.
That weed I spilled or poured bleach on last week's dead.
Yep, it works every time. It works every time.
Didn't do much for the blackberry. Only stem.
But did you just pour it on there?
Yeah.
Well, if you had a sprayer and you sprayed it on the leaves, yeah. I mean, they would curl up in a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a whole lot cheaper than any Roundup or Crossbow or any of that. Way cheaper. You can buy gallons.
The bleach.
You can buy 50 gallons of bleach for a quart of Roundup.
And it does just the same.
Yeah. And
pretty much.
But the reason I don't use it with clients is because it really smells their yard up. and they prefer not to smell bleach in their yard for a week and a half.
You know, it smells so clean.
I know it does. It's clean. Those are clean weeds. They're dead, but they're clean. What the heck? Well, and anyway, it seems that roses are having a spectacular bloom time this year.
Oh.
And I mean, all over, everywhere. I mean, it's like, no wonder they named this place Roseburg, for crying out loud. And they started early. And with this weather, the way it's been, they should continue to bloom all summer and all clear into the fall, because they like heat, they like sun, and they don't need a whole lot of care. You know, people think roses are some kind of fragile little plant. Wrong. They're the toughest things in the whole world, and I've told you stories about my old house in Roseburg and all the roses that were in there, and it took me 5 years to clean them out.
And my dad trying to get rid of moms.
Yeah? How did he do it?
He just tried everything, but they still kept coming back.
Bleach would have worked.
Would it?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, but I was just a kid. What did I know?
Yeah, you didn't know about bleach yet. So, to take care of them correctly, roses will grow and bloom without care. But for the best blooms, you know, you add a little fertilizer and water on a kind of a semi-regular basis, maybe, once a week or once every 10 days. That would be more than ample to keep your roses blooming. But the fertilizer does the trick. And there are fertilizers with different names that do different things, of course. Look for one that says rose bloom on it or something that has big words, roses. This is the one you want to put on your roses. And they will do a great job. They're low in nitrogen, high in potassium and phosphorus, and those are the potassium and phosphorus are what makes those blooms so nice and last long, and it's just a continuous process. It just really, really does a nice job on those roses. And of course, they like a sunny location, and they will grow in part shade, but at least a half a day of sun, preferably the afternoon. If you plant them in some, shady areas in your yard, and gets a little bit of filtered sun in the morning, but then about, 1 o'clock in the afternoon and it's in bright sun, bingo, perfect situation. Mm. They really do well. And they need good air circulation to prevent foliage diseases and things like that. So don't crowd them in with a whole bunch of other shrubs. Don't say, there's a little bare space and it's 3 feet wide and you stick a rose in there. It'll grow, but it won't do what it should do and what it's capable of doing, because there's too much competition there, and you've got other shrubs that it has to contend with. So give them space, space them out and give them a good 6 foot circle or 7 foot circle so that they can really develop and be nice for you all the time. Of course, I preach on this all the time. Good drainage is necessary. You got to have good drainage. So amend your soil with some mulch or some potting soil when you're planting. So when you do water them, the water doesn't just run off to the sides because it's pure clay. The water actually soaks down into the root zone.
Where it's
needed. And you go, whoa, man, that's grown out. But that will help with your very vigorous root growth. And again, fertilize maybe once a month to increase the bloom size and the number of blooms, again, well into the fall.
Okay.
And like I say, use a rose fertilizer, something that says this is for roses or this is for blooming plants, because it's high in potassium and phosphorus. That's the trick. That's the ticket. Now, you want to prune them, of course, on a regular basis and get rid of the dead or the weak non-blooming stems, and they've always got little tiny stems kind of in the middle of the bush, of the rose bush. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do anything. They might have a few leaves on them, but they'll never really have a bloom to speak of.
Yeah.
Clip them off, open it up, get that air circulating, and you leave the major canes that are, say big around as your finger or something like that. And that's when you're going to get the multitude of the good roses. and when you do that, it's gonna force and promote more blooms during the whole season. So regular basis might be once a month. We got a call?
Yep.
Good. I'll take a call.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. Denny here.
Hi, Denny.
Could you expand a little more on what you said about putting bleach on undesirable growth? Does it actually kill them and keep
yeah.
them killed like Roundup and that?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know if it's as long as sustaining where it will not regenerate from the roots at all, but it'll, especially on a sunny day where it's halfway warm, you know, like 65 or 70 degrees, and you squirt them with bleach, they're cooked right now. It works really, really well.
Now, my question is, how about poison oak?
I don't know about poison oak. It seems like crossbow is the best for poison oak because it's so tough. But hey, before you spend $50-$60 on a pint of a crossbow, you can spend $3 on a gallon of bleach, and you can try the bleach first and see, hey, how's that working? And once you kill it, I mean, there'll be some resprouting, and you kill the new sprouts, you finally get down into the root mass where it just, you know, the whole plant just finally disintegrates. I'm kind of pointed in that direction because I've got a mile of road with blackberries and stuff on both sides. Not the whole mile, but at least a third of it. And I use crossbow, and it does a good job, and it takes a while. But the bleach on a sunny day is going to scorch it right now. It's going to stop. It's all progress as soon as possible. But I don't know if it gets sucked down into the root system, whereas crossbow does get sucked down into the root system.
Yeah. Well, it sounds encouraging. I'm going to give it a try.
Sure, why not? And call me back with your success or non-success, okay?
Okay, I will, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks
right.
for the call.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, perfect timing. How about that?
That was good.
We'll be back with more of Mike Winters' Lawn and Garden Show on a wet Wednesday afternoon. That's hard to say.
I love wet.
We won't embellish on that. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
In these parts, Ford honors the brave ones, the loggers, fur traders, gold rushers, and homesteaders who built the communities we call home.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
There you go. NyQuil, the cure for
everything. NyQuil.
Along with bleach.
NyQuil, I wouldn't spray the plants with NyQuil.
No.
And I wouldn't drink the bleach, so you got to keep those two separate at all times. Anyway, I'm talking about roses and what you can do with them and how nice they'll make your yard look because they're so pretty right now. So they all, you know, they come in all colors, all sizes. I mean, there's like 80 billion roses and rose types, you know. There are miniatures that get a foot tall, and then there's the giant climbers that'll climb, you know, 20 feet into a tree or up a side of a house or something. And I've had experience with both of them. And then you can train, you can get a rose and train it into a tree and pick like the middle single stalk that is the straightest, and then prune all everything else off, and it just continues to grow in a tree. And you gotta continually prune it year after year, or you know, maybe twice a year, just to make sure that you're forming it into a tree. But once it's up there, it's beautiful. I've got one that's kind of semi done like that at the nursery out in the front in our landscape in front of our building, and we just kind of pruned off all the, not all, but a lot of the lower branches about a third of the way up the rose bush, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's just so full of blooms, and it's doing well. We got a call?
Yes, we do.
Hello, call.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Mike, this is David again. How are you doing?
Good.
So I did some research. I was the one that called about the cats last week.
Oh, yeah.
Did a little bit of research, and evidently coffee grounds or oranges work to repel them. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to try it.
Coffee grounds?
Coffee grounds, you know, like you get from Dutch Bros or,
or one of
the other...
Used ones, you're saying.
Evidently, the scent from them drives the cats away.
Yeah, that's cool to know. I'll have to give that a shot. You know, that's good. But you haven't done it yet, right?
I don't know if it's going to work, but I want to try.
Good, good. And what was the other thing you mentioned?
So my oranges, the orange.
The peel?
The scent from oranges.
Oh,
the peels.
Cool. Yeah. That's good. I like that. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Hold on. My actual question, though, today was in regards to trailing and roses, the ones you would throw on like a fence.
Uh-huh.
As a berry, as far as trimming them back every year, how much do you trim back, or do you trim them back, or how would that work?
Well, you have to decide what your ultimate height is going to be and width of the, and but pruning them back, you cannot hurt them. You could take 50% of them off and prune them, and they would come back gangbusters. It's like cutting your fingernails. They get tougher and grow faster.
Okay. So that's not a big concern.
Nope.
As far as growing them on a, because I have a chain link fence between my neighbor and myself, and I was thinking of using some roses to create a
screen?
A screen sort of thing.
Yeah, that works. And see, what they'll do, not only will they climb up on the fence, but some of the branches are going to kind of go out to the side. And those that are going out to the side, you want to prune them close to the fence and kind of, don't worry about the height so much as worry about the spread. Don't let them spread wide. Just keep them cut, within 6 inches of the fence on both sides. And then they'll just really get thick for you.
What would be a good variety to plant here in Douglas County for that?
Well, I'll tell you what, any climbing rose you find at any nursery or box store or anything like that is going to do well. It's there are so many varieties of climbers. I couldn't really name one for you because I don't plant very many of them. And we usually sell the hybrid tea roses, which are the nice roses that come up, and you can cut them and put them in a vase and put them on your table, that kind of thing. So that's what really the customers want.
Now, as far as spacing for that, am I going to look in like one of the garden books to find out spacing?
Oh, you could probably put them 6 feet apart at least, or even longer, but 6 feet apart would be a good average.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Alrighty, had another call coming in there, but they got tired of ringing, I guess.
Oh, well, maybe everybody finally tuned in.
What's the number again, Mike?
673-4464.
There you go.
And there's a 541 on the front part of that.
Look at this, two calls coming in. Which one?
Take the one on the left.
All right, we'll take this one. Hi, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Last year, Mike, I bought one of your small lemon trees.
Yeah.
And it had two lemons on it. And by golly, they ripened up. And it's fallen off now. And now it gets a resurgence of growth. And it was looking really good. And I, brought it out of the garage slowly. And finally, when we got to warm weather, I set it out. And it got set in full sun. And the leaves, the mature leaves that are on there are starting to turn really yellow.
Well, yeah, did the garage have any light in there, or did you put them by a
it did.
Garage window or something like that?
It had light.
Yeah, well, see, you're taking them from one environment that's really protected and all that out to, you know, the wild world. And there's a transformation that has to happen, for the rose to acclimate. And don't worry about the old leaves turning yellow or brown or anything like that. Just cut the leaves off, and new leaves will come on, and it'll be fine.
Well, it has some really nice new growth, and it had just a gazillion blooms.
Good.
And I read someplace that beer is good for citrus, so I poured about a half a can of beer on it, too. I was worried maybe that affected it. Got drunk and it fell down.
It probably did. You probably blew its brains out.
What kind of beer? Never mind.
Don't ask what kind of beer it was.
Some old stuff I had in the outdoor fridge.
Oh, good. Yeah, the age stuff, right? I wouldn't worry about it.
Let her go.
They're a full-sun heat-seeking plant. I mean, just make sure it's damp and not overwatered. That's premier. And a little bit of fertilizer.
Very conscious about that.
Good, good.
Those leaves are just falling off as I touch them.
Well, don't touch it. And don't put any bleach on it.
The yellow ones that I don't like anyway.
Well, that's okay. They're on the downhill run anyway. They'll sprout brand new leaves. You don't worry about that.
All right, good to go.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
All right. Okay. Now we have a line or two open. You can call back.
You can call back. We're on a roll today.
I hadn't seen all those lines light up.
I know. I mean, this must be getting to be a popular show after 20 years.
It's catching on.
Woo-hoo. Oh, golly. Yeah, the gentleman that just called about it, the climbing roses for a fence on his chain link fence, is a great idea. It and as long as you keep it pruned and keep it neat, it always looks good and always blooms. And and if you want something a climber to get tall, you just put it on a big trellis or one of those archways, the wooden archways that lead to the backyard. Put one on either side of that, and it grows over the top. You keep it pruned; it's gorgeous.
All right. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Yeah, Mike. This is Jesse. I've got a hedge with about 20 of these things, and they're about 8 feet apart. And they're called Fotinia, or they call them red tip.
Yeah, Fotinia.
Fotinia.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, I have this disease that I cannot figure out how to get rid of. And at one point, it killed one of the plants.
Uh-huh.
It's a brown spot that the leaves get, and they just start falling down. And pretty soon, there's no leaves, and they just start dying down. And this year, it seems like they all came out. Some of them got even flowers and stuff like that. But how do I get rid of that disease?
Well, there are sprays of fungicides that you can spray the whole shrub with. And then also you can pour it down around the stem in the ground and let it get into the root system. And those are called systemic. Systemic just means that the roots will absorb it and take it up into the plant. But the initial kill is to get a good fungicide. That's all. They're a fungus. That's all it is. Prune off all the bad stuff first. You don't want to spray the bad stuff. Prune it off. You know, the really ugly stuff that's, you know, super.
Well, that would mean pulling up all the leaves, right? it's got the spot. Okay, so trim it down and throw this fungicide on it.
Yeah, and then after a week or so, give each one a good shot of granular fertilizer around the bottom, around the base, and then water that in. And be patient because it's going to take a while for the shrub to assimilate that and the fertilizer to get down into the root zone. So it might take a couple of weeks before you see something actually happening. Don't water it every day. Don't think watering is going to help. It's not. Just water it once when you put the fertilizer down and then stand back and just forget about them. And then one day when you're coming home, you go, wow, look at all the new leaves. It's cool.
All right. One more question, please. What, 2020, 15, 15, 15, something like that?
No, that'd be a little bit much. Just go with a good shrub fertilizer, and it'll say for shrubs and you know, small trees or something like that. What you mentioned is mainly a lawn food, which promotes a lot of quick growth real fast, but it works in a contrary way on shrubs.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. We got lines open again for you.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know where I'm at anymore. I was talking about roses.
Roses,
yeah. You know, but and putting them on trellises, or you know, make them into trees, make them into hedges, put them on a trellis, and like my old house in Roseburg, they put them right next to the house, and for 35 years they grew up over the roof, and they
took over the house.
They took over the house, basically. Yeah. And the trunks, really, the trunks were like 4 or 5 inches in diameter.
Wow.
They were like trees. And it took, you know, we cut them down and we made many trips to the burn pile in the backyard. And then I started digging out the stumps, but I couldn't. So I hooked up a chain to my truck and yarded them out that way. It was the only way I could get them out.
Yeah.
But the folks that planted them, they only put them like a foot away from the house.
And they didn't have to deal with it.
No, they were long gone when I bought the house. And you got to give them some space and don't put them up against your house unless you want to have a real hassle.
Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I just wondered, how much water do I need to give a Japanese maple, a big-sized one, in my yard?
Very little. Very little.
Okay.
Maybe, how big is this thing?
It's really big.
Well, how big is the diameter of the trunk? 6 inches?
6 or 8.
Really? You probably should never have to water it at all. I mean, I have old ones at my place that I never water, and they're beautiful every year.
This is Keith, and you looked at it one time.
Oh, the one in the backyard?
Yeah.
Oh, the beautiful one?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
I just don't know how much to water it.
Don't water it, Keith. It's fine. It's in the middle of a lawn. It'll suck up the lawn juices.
Okay.
Yeah. If you get bored sometime and it's a 100-degree day and the sun goes down, go ahead and give it a shower.
Okay.
That's it. Okay.
But do it in the evening. Huh?
You do it in the evening after sundown. You know, it's still light. You still see. And just, you know, kind of squirt the leaves and freshen them up. But, I mean, that tree doesn't need anything. Trust me.
Okay. I had no idea. I wasn't sure, and it's so beautiful. I didn't want to mess it up.
That tree is worth $25,000 minimum.
Jeez.
I know. Really, I'm not kidding you. I'm not exaggerating. If you went to a big growing nursery up north in Portland, and it was in a big giant box, and you wanted to buy it, it would be $25,000.
Wow. What's your address?
I know where he lives. I've been to his house. I've seen this tree. Oh, golly.
It's not a rose. I don't think I have any roses.
Good. Don't bother with them. You got trees.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that information. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You can call anytime. The line's always open for you, Keith.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Oh, jeez.
All right. That was interesting.
Yeah, Keith used to be the planning director down at the county.
Oh, yeah.
And back
in
my county commissioner days, he and I worked together on solving a lot of problems, actually, in the positive for citizens of Douglas County. So
imagine that.
So he calls me one day about 2 months ago and says, hey, I got this new house I bought, and the sprinkler's not working. And, you know, so we went over and looked at it, and we're walking around the yard and walking to the backyard.
Yeah.
And there's kind of a raised bed in the middle of this backyard lawn. Raised bed with rocks or bricks. I can't remember what it was exactly. But this gorgeous, gorgeous Japanese maple in there. I mean, the trunk was good 7 or 8 inches in diameter, and it just spread from tip to tip, probably eight or nine feet, and it was only about maybe 5 feet tall. And it was just, the branching patterns were beautiful, and I thought, man, that's a gorgeous tree.
$25,000.
Oh yeah, 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 really.
It'd be a heck of a chore getting it out of there to sell it to somebody, though.
Well, you wouldn't want to do that, but if
here, I'm not implying anything.
Okay, don't. I hope nobody's listening that likes Japanese maples.
Sorry, Keith.
I didn't tell him the address, Keith. We're safe. Oh, golly. Okay, those roses, I don't know. So anyway, think about this. How did I get on all this stuff? Anyway, roses, they've been around a very long time. They're like the ancient flowers of the Neanderthal world. I mean, the cavemen.
Even China.
Yeah, even China has roses. Really, China has lots of roses.
Do all they?
Asian countries are filled with wild roses. They're, and when we had our seagoing dudes back in the 17, 1800s and doing, you know, sailing back and forth across the oceans of the world, you know, a lot of these dudes would see plants and they would dig them up and take them, bring them back to America.
Yeah.
They did it with rhododendrons. They did it with roses. They did it with anything that we didn't have a big supply of. And we have natural roses too.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the roses that we now have came from Asia.
Oh, okay.
And different parts of Asia. Why, I don't know, but they
they seem to be first.
They were doing really well. And I was reading this one article and it says, yeah, roses have been around part of nature for 30 million years. And I thought, okay, good. Yeah, right. I wonder how they know, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, the bones. We checked the bones and saw that they were 30 million years old.
There was a fossil.
Yeah. They were petrified. But, you know, history shows that, like, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon was filled with roses. And that's part of history. And they were called the Queen of Flowers at the time. And even in the Dark Ages, we got another call? You got your hand on the button?
We do, but... Yeah, we'll take this and then a break.
Okay, go for it.
All right, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Hey, thanks, Mike. My name's Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
And I had a question about dreadful foxtail weeds.
Oh, you like them, huh?
Oh, my gosh. My field is infested with some of it, and, you know, I've done a lot of research on how to eradicate it, but, you know, I'm still working, trying to get rid of it. But my question is, after the foxtail has brought up its seed pod, so to speak.
Yeah.
If you went ahead and I sprayed it with Roundup, when that dies before it actually lets its seeds go, can those seeds actually still go to seed? In other words, they'll still go to seed for next year?
Well, I think it's the timing has got to be right. If they're small pods and they're just forming, I think you can kill the seed. But if they're mature plants and they're ready to pop and ready to open up and drop the seed, then you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
But if you get
That's
it early on, if you get it early on, I think you're good to go.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Okay. Good.
But I just thought I'd check. You know, maybe there was another way to try to eradicate it in the later stages.
Well, goats. Put some goats on there. They'll chew them up.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Appreciate it. Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. 4:40, and we're running a little long on this segment, so let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
I'm only on page 2 of my notes. For
I know. That's all right. Man. That's all right. Keep the calls coming.
Okay. How many calls we have?
I lost track. News Radio 1240. 1800.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
And once again, good afternoon. We're back.
Yeah, and I want to thank everybody that called today. That's been like a flurry. I think we had 8 calls. And it's
at least,
taken most of the hour. So thank you very much. I appreciate you calling and appreciate you listening. And, you know, bring it on. We talk all day. Well, maybe not all day. But
we can even go into the news block.
Yeah, we'll just wipe out the news and we'll just talk roses and bugs and cats in the litter box
and fairy tales.
Yeah. So anyway, what? I'm getting just no, don't do this fairy tale thing. Okay. So I was talking about how you can use these roses in your landscape, and you know, talked about the miniature roses and how good they are, and they're just a. An easy thing to do, and if you give them space, they're not a maintenance problem, and They're very easy to grow. They're very tough. And like I say, they bloom from early spring to Christmas. And if you come to my nursery, I will show them to you. They're right along the road where all the semis go and throw dust and heat and ugliness right on them every day, 365 days a year. Well, there's no dust when it's raining, but still they get the muddy water.
Yeah.
But it doesn't faze them. It doesn't. It doesn't do anything. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, we can handle it.
They seem to like it.
They like it. They grow better. And of course, I said they make a nice border plant, you know, between the sidewalk and your lawn, say, or around a patio or a deck or even potting. Put them in a pot, big old pot, and you never have to take them out, and they're just gorgeous for you. Or you can create a formal rose garden, something like at the Portland Rose Gardens or over at the coast there. What the heck is that big park? I've been there 20 times. I can't even think of the name.
I can't either.
But yeah. It's really, really nice. Give them sun, give them good drainage, and they're going to grow and be beautiful. And they look really neat when you put them adjacent to a nice green lawn. You've got the deep green of the lawn, provided you're watering and fertilizing, and it's beautiful. And then you've got these beautiful orange, red, yellow, purple, gorgeous roses growing in the vicinity, not right next to it, but kind of as a background. And the contrast is really, really pretty. And that's the kind of thing you want to create in your landscape. Just don't throw a whole bunch of dollar plants in there and call it good. Think about what you want to do. Think about what you want for color through the summer, and you know, get some books, listen to this show, go to a nursery, talk to people who know how things are and how they grow, and then you plant your roses, and they're beautiful. They also look good in a rock garden kind of thing. If you have an area with maybe a water feature, and you got some big boulders and rocks and things like that, you can kind of intermittently plant them among the rocks as long as they have good soil where they're growing, and they really give a good splash of color to the rock garden. Again, it's a no-maintenance kind of deal. It's easy. This is Roseburg.
Yeah.
You don't forget that.
Yeah.
But the guy earlier was talking about his roses for a privacy screen. Yeah, you can do that. You can make a nice hedge. It's a living fence, if you will. They don't have to, if you prune them correctly, they'll stand alone. But if you have a fence or some kind of material that can support their weight, it's easy to do. And you can let them get as tall as you want, as long as you prune and keep them tight. When they're pruned tightly, they don't grow those long limbs and then flop all over the place and look ugly, like my rose hedge did at my old house in Roseburg till I cut it down. And it came back. Oh, boy. But I like roses planted randomly among the evergreen plants. So when I'm designing a landscape for somebody and they want color and they want some evergreens and they want, oh, say, some dwarf mugo pine or, you know, some other evergreen shrubs, I leave space, quite a bit of space in between those mainstays. And then you put some sort of flowering shrub, i.e. rose, in between, and it kind of breaks it up. And it also complements the entire garden. The evergreens look better because they're framed or complemented with beautiful blooms during the spring and summer, and it's they're just showy, and you can cut them, make vases out of them, they're really beautiful. And to get started, when you're just getting started, just try a few. Don't overload yourself with 40 roses and then try to figure out where you're going to put them in your yard. Get about 3, 4, maybe 5 at the most, and space them out real well. And don't plant them. Just put them, you know, put the pot out in the yard and take a look at it and place them. And they don't want to be in a straight line necessarily, but kind of triangulated with 8-10 feet apart or something like that. And sit back for a day or two and look at them and see if you like the positioning before you actually pick up the shovel, dig the hole, and plant them. That way you can get a feel for them. That way when they're in a pot, you can say, nah, they're too far apart, I'll move them a little closer, or they're too close, I'll move them farther apart, or I'm going to switch the yellow one with the red one and put that one by the purple one. It's all part of that landscape process that that's how you design. That's how you look at it. That's how you get the feel for it. And when you do it that way, your satisfaction with the job that you had done is very high. And you're not out there trying to rip them out 3 years later because you messed up.
Oh, no.
But like I say, just start with a few. And you can always add new varieties over time. There's always space available, and if you say, well, you know, those are looking good, I like a couple more of that, or I'd like a couple different colors, or I'd like some different sizes, you've got the space to do it then. Nothing's jammed up and nothing's crowded. And as you go through the spring and early summer season, that's when you see all these different types of roses hanging around. So be patient, do it right, you'll love it. Thank you for listening.
Well, that was a Rosy show.
Yo, ho, Rosy show. I don't know what his name is, but he runs the board. Thanks again for all the calls.
All right, thank you, Mike.